Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I'm Chrissy Crash, a former smoker, drinker, fast food eater, unhappy bartender, transformed into a roller derby athlete, runner, and fitness coach. Each week, I'll bring you an insightful guest or lesson learned from my own perfectly imperfect life to help you uncover how to create more love, light, joy, and health in your everyday experience despite the chaos and challenges. I believe that life is a contact sport. Let the games begin. This episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast is brought to you by A Crash Course in Transformation. If you want to get fitter, faster, stronger, leaner, happier, more organized, and just have a super badass life, then A Crash Course in Transformation is for you. Through customized workouts, nutrition education, one-on-one coaching, and a badass community, we help you create the life that you love and get on the path to sustainable living in just 12 weeks. Click the link in the show notes to join us or go to chrissycrash.com. What's up, my friends? Chrissy Crash here. Welcome to another episode of the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I am so excited to be here with my good friend, Kate Cameron. Oh my God, you guys, I love this chick to death, first of all. Another one. You're gonna feel like every person that I bring on my podcast now, I'm like, they're my favorite person in Costa Rica. But no, so Kate is a subconscious coach and a hypnotherapist. And she helps people understand their subconscious mind and change their patterns. Kate and I actually met on the beach, and before I knew she was a hypnotherapist, she invited me to Muay Thai, so obviously we were best friends immediately. We actually just got back from Muay Thai. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good.
Yeah. It was a good one.
Very clear, very energized.
Yeah. I got my ass kicked a little bit.
Well, you were with Bart.
So I know.
That's why.
Bart, like, fucking, dude, those kicks. Bart would, like, kick the pads, and I would just feel it all, like, ricochet into my skull.
You were brave.
It was fucking awful. So, you know? Right before we started this podcast, though, I want to just circle back to our pre-podcast conversation. So, you really haven't had gum since the third grade?
I have not had gum since the third grade.
Gum since the third grade.
Because when I was in the third grade, I tried it for the first time, and I didn't realize that you weren't supposed to swallow it.
Uh-huh.
So I chewed it, and I swallowed it, and somebody told me, hey, you're not supposed to do that, and it stays in your stomach for, you know, years and years.
You know that's not true, right?
I know that now.
Okay.
But as a third grader, I didn't know. So it kind of left a little impression on me, and I never tried it again.
I feel like you should have gum again as some sort of, like, a healing, like a healing of your gum trauma.
I don't know if I could do it.
I mean, it's just like chewing food, except that you...
What is the...
It's just like chewing food, except that you don't swallow.
That's true. I mean, if I really was pushed to do it, I would do it for the sake of healing that trauma.
Amazing.
Yeah, in the name of, you know...
Trauma healing. In the name of being in integrity with what you do.
Exactly.
Yes. And I just want to point out, so we are in Costa Rica, and we are sitting in my backyard. We've been planning this podcast for a while. We canceled it because there was so much rain and there was no power. And then there was, like, no electricity because of, like,
Hurricane
Etta. And then now that we're doing the podcast, it appears there's construction next door. So disregard any of the background banging. Hopefully it doesn't make it onto the podcast. You can't hear it, but yeah. Okay, so I'm going to make you eat some gum. Like, maybe we could have some gum together.
Are we doing this live or post?
Dude, I fucking wish I had gum right now. I really wish that this little thing of Clorette's mints was gum. Fuck, man.
I'm kind of glad that it's not.
I know. So you don't have trouble chewing, like, other... What about, like, if you're eating something else that's, like, really chewy?
I don't mind.
You don't mind
chewing stuff? But I've never really been a fan of, like, gummy bears, gummy worms. Not my thing. Chocolate, I'm all about it. But, gummy things are not really my...
I'm trying to think what else is chewy that might be, like, hard to get. I was going to say, like, meat, but you don't eat meat.
No, I don't.
So, yeah. How long have you been vegetarian?
For about 5 years now. And I should say that, like, I recently, in the past couple months, have started eating a little bit of fish again.
Yes, good, because you need those healthy fats.
I know.
I'm, like, a proponent of, like, eating vegetarian, like, with the mindset, but also eating meat at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, too, for people to realize that, like, every body is different. And some people... You know, for some people to have a strictly vegetarian diet is just not in the cards for them. So.
Right.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Good.
And I love fish.
I love fish, so. Too. I supposedly there's a hookup on, like, some really good fishermen in, like, San Juanillo.
I believe it. Yeah.
So I'm going to get the WhatsApp, and we can, like, do, like, a group fish order, and we'll ride the ATV up to San Juanillo and go to a little shack and pick up some fucking fish.
That sounds great.
I'm so excited. Okay, so totally off. If you made it through the first four minutes of this podcast, you can see how it's going to go today. But so tell us a little bit about what you do. So you guys, when I was up at a yoga class at this place called Bodhi Tree up the road, and there was this sign, like, you know, on the little bulletin board, and it was like past life progression or regressions. And I was like, oh, I need to do that. Like, I'm so curious what happened to me in, like, my past lives. If you believe in that stuff, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Kate will explain the theories on both sides of it. But so, like, I was like, fuck, I gotta do that. Like, that's so cool, that's here. And sure enough, like, the next day, I run into this girl. Jesus Christ. I run into this girl on the beach, and she seems super nice. And my friend Sandra's talking to her, and she's like, hi, I'm Kate. And I'm like, hi, I'm Chrissy. And then she's like, yeah, I do past life regressions. I'm a hypnotherapist. And I'm like, you! I've been looking for you!
And it's always how it happens, too. People... almost always when I work with somebody, especially in a past life regression, mm-hmm. it's like the person has either recently read the book Many Lives, Many Masters, yeah. or somebody's recently told them about past life regression, or I worked with one girl who literally came here and had three separate instances where she was recommended to me, once by a flyer in town and twice by two other people, and one of those people was on her airplane coming here.
No.
So it's like... It's divine. Like, when people are ready for it, it shows up.
They just get, 100%. Like, shoveled. I feel like it's like that with a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're open enough and, like, paying attention enough to the patterns of shit. Okay, you guys, I'm sorry. I have to just... There's literally construction going on in two different properties directly next to us. So, bear with us. I really hope this isn't showing up.
We are one of the fastest growing beach towns in the world.
This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, what were we talking about? Oh, patterns, shit showing up. Like, I feel like if you're just, like, awake enough and aware mm-hmm. enough to, like, see the patterns of stuff that's showing up, you can, like, follow the breadcrumbs.
For sure. The things always show up in exactly the right time and exactly yeah. the right place. We just have to see them.
We just have to be open to it.
Yeah.
So, talk a little bit about what you do. How did you get into it? Like, yeah. all the things.
Yeah, so I've always been interested What
is it?
That's a really good question. I've always been interested in the mind ever mm-hmm. since I was a kid. I used to think a lot about people and dynamics between people and how we could change our patterns. And then as I got older, I studied psychology. And I found that gave me part of the puzzle pieces I was looking for, but not the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then after school, I got really deep into my study of yoga and meditation, and when I learned about hypnotherapy, it seemed like a really nice bridge
mm-hmm.
between psychology and even in some ways spirituality, but allowing us to access those deeper parts of mind through an altered state of consciousness,
yeah.
which I felt like I'd been exploring with the yoga, with the meditation, and then I felt like I had the background from psychology to understand, you know, some of the deeper pieces of, like, what was really going on.
Yeah, because we get in our way a lot, I feel like.
For sure. I mean, everything that we do in our lives is essentially self-created, and it's coming from our own patterns and our own subconscious programming. So anytime we have, you know, a pattern that repeatedly shows up in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and you might not even realize it at first, but if you start to look at your relationships, your relationship with your job, your relationship with, you know, the way that you live your life, and just notice, like, what are the patterns that tend to repeat in your life?
Mm.
And when you start to see those, you'll start to recognize that, like, you are really in the driver's seat,
mm-hmm.
but oftentimes without even realizing it.
Yeah. What do you feel like are some common patterns? Are there sort of, like, common patterns that people come across?
Yeah, I mean, there are, definitely. I mean, there are a lot of places where people will kind of self-sabotage in terms of, like, let's say finances or love and relationships. I think, like, the lack mentality is a pretty popular thing, and that can play out in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, part of what I do with people is regression work, so we can do that in the context of a past life regression, but also in your current life.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, people will go into an earlier memory, past life or current life, and they'll find some kind of memory where they were given this message of lack, this message mm-hmm. of, like, you shouldn't have that, or it wasn't safe to to have something nice.
Yeah.
And that actually can get stored in there, and it can repeat.
And you don't even realize that it was, like, from when you were four, and you wanted to buy something at the grocery store, and, like, something happened, and your mom yelled at you or something. I don't know. I'm just making
things exactly.
up, yeah. You internalize that stuff. That's what seems so terrifying about having children, is you're, like, you do something, and you're, like, and not that I have children, but I mean about thinking about having children, is, like, oh, my God, is this the moment? Is this imprinting in you right now? I think about it with my dog. Like, sometimes I'm, like,
too.
Shit. I'm, like, is this the thing that's going to be imprinted in you, and now you're going to be crazy? It's got to be terrifying.
I know. That's why I think it's nice to kind of bridge, you know, the psychology of what's going on with the spiritual side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at things spiritually, you know, we're here to show up and to learn the lessons
mm.
that we've chosen to learn on this path, but also, you know, the lessons that we show up for
mm-hmm.
are things that we've kind of agreed on. If you, you know, if you buy into some idea of, like, a higher purpose, and, you know, there's a reason why we're all here,
mm-hmm.
then the person who incarnates as your child, you know, they've signed up for you.
They know what they're getting into.
They know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they'll forget it once they arrive
get here.
And they'll be like, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, they might be angry or frustrated in the moment. But
yeah.
we sign up to learn the things that we needed to learn. And so if you look at it that way, all those challenges and all those mistakes can also really be beautiful learning opportunities,
yeah.
which is not in any way to say that you should, like, try to mess up your child. I think
don't
we
try
should...
to fuck up your child. You're like, you're gonna learn so much.
Yeah, and I think we should always strive to be as conscious as we can, but also, like, part of that being conscious is realizing that mistakes are a part of life.
Yeah, well, and I think that what you said too about, like, even with kids or, like, with ourselves, like, we chose to show up in this life and have these experiences, especially in, like, all the crazy shit that's going on right now, to, like, trust that there is some higher part of myself that, like, or ourselves that saw all of the madness that was going to be each of our lives and
yeah.
was like, yeah, I want to fucking come down and play that version of the video game. Like, that choose your own adventure. I want to do that one. That one's full of addictive relationships and pandemics. Like, I want to fucking come play that game. Let's go. Like, cool. That's what we're, but it gives you, like, just understanding that it's all going to be okay. And that, like, we just chose it, you know?
For sure.
And to just have faith in it.
Yeah. And how crazy that we picked to be in sort of, like, the prime of our lives during this crazy time.
Dude.
Of massive transformation, massive destruction, chaos in some ways, but I feel like there's, you know, there's gonna be a rebirthing of something positive
yeah.
from all of this.
Yeah.
And so for us to say, like, hey, I'm gonna show up in this time is pretty cool.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be some fucked up shit. Let's
yeah.
go do it.
Okay, good. I was gonna say fuck. I wasn't sure.
Oh,
if
you
I
can swear. You can
swear
say
on
fuck.
Your podcast. Okay.
Yeah, you can totally say fuck.
Good to know.
No, for sure. And it's such an interesting time too. And I feel like maybe Mike and I were talking about this on the last podcast, of, like, there's such rapid transformation happening right now, and if you believe in abundance, and that everything is happening for the greater good, you can almost, like, lean into it like a roller coaster, like. Woo, these are some big downs, and woo, these are some big ups, right?
Yep.
But if your fundamental philosophy of it all is lack,
yeah.
then it really feels like end of days. And it's like two different philosophies can feel like two totally different experiences of the same reality right now.
For sure.
You know?
And I feel like that's really, I mean, a big part of the work that I do with people too is, like, helping us to recognize what's going on from a place of being a little bit more detached from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you can do that in this time, if you can be sort of like a witness to what's happening,
yes.
but still maintain your own integrity
yeah.
within the chaos,
yeah.
then that's the best place to be, because you can kind of see it for what it is and experience it and still be a part of it, but maybe not let it, you know, take you down the rabbit hole of, like, negative emotions or, I mean, this has been a really tough time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if you can, you know, see it in that positive way and just kind of, like, let yourself step back.
Yeah. No, that whole witness thing, I teach this a lot with my girls, of, like, how do you pause and create, oh my God, I flicked the spider onto you. You guys, there was this spider that was, like, running around on my body and I, oh.
And he jumped,
like,
back.
He's really hoppy.
I like him.
Get out of here, bro. Go to the microphone. There we go.
He's on your phone.
This is what happens when I caffeinate. Like, I'm totally all over the place. What were we just talking about? Oh, the witnessing. Yeah, so, like, I work with my girls on that. Like, if you can create some space, you know, to the way I'm putting my hands over my chest and I'm, like, sort of, like, creating that, like, almost space between, like, your body and your mind, just, like, enough space to pause and be, like, hang on. Like, is this, like, what's real and what's my interpretation of what's happening right now?
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. And that's a huge part of what I've been doing in my programs recently is, like, separating, you know, the personalization that we give to things and the meaning that we give to things.
Oh, God!
And we all do this. I mean, I think it's something that everyone has kind of, like, a pattern of doing in some way, shape, or form. Some of us more than others. I know that for me, like, it's been a huge transformation and something I'm still going through because I used to give so much meaning to everything and, like, personalize all these different things, in large part probably why I got into this work.
Yeah.
And to be able to see our stories and the interpretations that we give to things for what they really are is massive.
Yeah. How would you explain personalize? Like, if you're saying you personalize something, like, if someone's sort of new to, like, this whole concept.
Yeah. So let's say you have an experience. Let's say you're talking to a friend and they say something that offends you.
Mm.
Okay? And they might say, like, maybe they comment on your clothes and you take it as, like, you know, they're saying that you don't look nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What they might have actually done is just, you know, been commenting on something specific without really thinking.
Yeah.
But what's important here is the meaning that we're giving from that comment.
Yeah.
It's not the comment itself. It's like, okay, we're giving ourselves the meaning of, like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not beautiful, or I'm not...
I have a great example of this,
you guys.
I just went through this in my life. And this is why clarification with people that you love is so important, is if you catch it happening, you have to go and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to my mom about, like, maybe, you know, thinking about having, like, a baby and trying to figure all this, like, IUI, like, artificial insemination stuff out. And she was like, sweetie, I just want you to know, like, I'm not going to be able to be there all the time. Like, you live really far away. And she, what I heard was, don't expect, like, you can't do this on your own. What are you thinking about doing this on your own? If I can't be there to help you, like, you're not going to be a good mom. Like, she, like, I heard her expecting me, I heard her hearing me expecting her to come down and, like, take care of this kid. And I sat with it for, like, a week. For, like, a week, I was, like, my mom, like, just, she just doesn't think I'm going to be a good mom. She doesn't think I should do this alone. She thinks that I want her to come down and raise it because I'm incapable, all this stuff. And I, like, texted her and was like, can we talk? And we got on the phone and I'm like, and this is such an important thing, you guys. Oh my God. I teach this to my girls too. It's like just being able to create space. And, like, I called her and just said, hey, so this is a conversation that we had the other day, and I just wanted to share with you what I heard and what I made it mean. And I told her, and she was like, oh my God. She was like, no. She's like, I love you so much. I think you're going to be the best mom on the planet. She's like, you're going to be so great at this. You're going to be wonderful. I just wanted you to know that, like, I can't come down for more than, like, you know, a week or two at a time because I live so far away. And I'm like, oh, so you mean the thing that you said was actually all that you meant? She's like, yeah.
That is amazing. That's, first of all, that's, like, a perfect example. And how incredible that you were able to take that step to actually have a conversation, because so often we just take the meaning and we run with it.
Oh, my God. And then I would, like, hate my mom for years down the road. And I think I did have a kid and I kept this inside. And then every time something happened with the kid, I would, like, resent my mom because she's, right? And people, like, live with it because they personalize.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that the story that we created isn't actually what happened. It was just our interpretation.
Yeah. And it's incredible if you're able to, you know, to be in a dynamic where you can actually have a conscious conversation about it. Like, your mom was able to hear you and listen to you and, you know, maybe not get super triggered in her ability to, like, work through it with you.
Yeah.
And I think we also have to understand, too, that not necessarily everyone can meet us in that space.
Mm.
But regardless, it doesn't mean that we have to take the meaning that, you know, that we initially feel as truth.
Right.
And even if you are in a situation where somebody is maybe deliberately, you know, trying to give you a negative meaning, that still doesn't you know, that still doesn't mean you have to create a story around it for yourself.
Right, because usually then in that case, it is their stuff. Like, for example, let's say in that situation, let's say my mom actually did mean all that, and she thought I was going to be a terrible daughter, and she thought that I was asking her to go. Likely, it had to do with something that happened with her and her mom, and she's taking it and now projecting it onto her relationship with me.
For sure.
And so we can really get that, like, when people are in that sort of triggered situation, to understand that it's not necessarily like us, it's their interpretation of their own story.
Absolutely. Yeah. So much of that is projection, and
dude, there's no fucking real reality. It's so it's so weird. There's like no, I don't know. There's just so many versions of what's going on.
There are, and I love that quote by Hermann Hesse. Have you heard it?
No, I don't know.
He says, there's no real reality except the one contained within us.
Yeah!
And I find that so true.
It's so good, because everything is perspective. Like, from where you're sitting right now, you're seeing an entirely different perspective of my yard than I am. And it's like, well, which one's the real perspective? And that's what's so fucked up about this time right now. It's so crazy. I don't want to talk about politics or anything, but just people are, like, so in their perspective. Yep. And they're like, my perspective is the real thing, and everything else is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's such a dangerous place for us to be as people.
Yeah, and I think what happens, too, is, like, our identity gets caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this can also happen a lot if we don't necessarily take the time to explore ourselves and to recognize who we really are and to do a lot of this deep internal work. We can get kind of hooked on ideas and start to place our identity on these things that are outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes really difficult to separate, like, you know, what you might actually feel or believe from what you think you should feel or believe.
Mm-hmm. From the group dynamic and expectation of it.
Yeah, and then when that's threatened, it feels so much more intense.
Yeah.
Because it feels like your identity is being threatened versus just, like, this situation outside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a lot of that too with, like, retiring from roller derby.
Yeah.
Because, like, so much of, I had literally built an identity, a fucking persona. I mean, Chrissy Crash was not who I was born as, you know, and, like, coming into roller derby, building this sort of, going from being this smoker, drinker, bartender, casual meth user, like, people didn't actually know that. Surprise! Chrissy Crash used to do hard drugs. Sorry, Mom. I made it out okay. Like, but this sort of, like, going down this really fucked up road, like, it was a pivotal point, and then sort of finding roller derby, creating this Chrissy Crash person who allowed me to, like, step out of who Kristen Adolfi was going down this road as, and then retiring from roller derby and being like, what happens if I take away the Chrissy Crash shell? And it was so terrifying because my whole being was so tied up in this identity of this created person.
Yeah.
That, like, the idea of it being ripped away, there was so much, like, depression leaving roller derby. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, so terrifying of, like, well, who am I then, right? And so many of us are so tied up in, like, oh, well, I'm a mom, I'm a Democrat, I'm a, you know, whatever you do for work, and, like, we create all these different versions instead of pausing and being like, actually, I'm kind of like the watcher. Like, we were talking about the witness. I'm like the witness of those constructs. Like, they're not us.
Yeah, and it's beautiful what you said, too, that if you can start to recognize when you go through an experience like you had, which I think anyone can go through in any kind of way. Like, for me, building a business, I've had to, you know, to release layers of that shell. And I'm sure anyone listening to this can, you know, find a place in their life where they've had to, like, grow and change. And if you can look at the emotions and the feelings that come up for you during that, like you said, a little bit of depression and maybe, like, confusion, like, who am I really?
Fear, loss.
If you can look at those things and use them as tools, you can gain so much insight about yourself. And you can redirect your life in a way that's more in alignment with who you really are.
Yeah.
And those feelings themselves, like the depression, you know, those are not, they're negative emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm doing, like,
air quotes.
But they're really just, they're neutral. I mean, they're just delivering you information that maybe in your case could have been saying, like, hey, like, my identity was this. Mm-hmm. Now I need to figure out, you know, I need to go deeper and figure out, like, who am I really? And so that depression could have been a sign of
attachment.
Yeah, of attachment to an old part of you.
Right, that was used for so much healing, and then, like, the fear of losing that, right? And that's exactly what I did, is, like, why is this tripping me out so hard? And it was like, oh, I'm so attached to this. And so since I've been here, I've been, like, sort of intentionally introducing myself as Kristen, which I haven't done in, like, I don't even know, probably, like, 15 years. And so when I meet people here, it switched right when I got here too. My roommate Sandra was like, did you just introduce yourself as Kristen? And I was like, yeah, it's like a thing I'm trying out. I'm like, just trying out what this new version of Kristen Adolfi is since I left her like 16 years ago. And like, we're just seeing who she is now, you know?
Yeah, and I love that. And I think what's inspiring about you and about so many people is that like, you can use that transformation as a catapult.
Yeah.
You know, and into like, who is Kristen Adolfi, you know, and like letting yourself explore like all the amazing things that you've built since leaving roller derby. I mean, you've done incredible things. So to be able to have used what you went through after leaving to, you know, to give all this momentum and all this positive energy into discovering more about who you are and bringing that awareness to other people, it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and that's the game, right? Like, the game is, well, who do I want to be and who do I want to become? Because every single moment, there's who we've been. It's like we're always living on this, like, precipice of who we've been and, like, where we're going. And at any moment, you can just choose to, like, hard right from where we've been, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like you're doing a fun job of that right now, of, like, owning, becoming a fucking boss businesswoman. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it definitely is a journey. And I feel like, I heard it said once that, like, building your own business is one of the most, like, spiritually testing things you can do.
Fuck, man. It's like owning your power and, like, selling your art, essentially. Like,
yeah. And one thing that I realized I was doing is, you know, there were certain people that I felt really comfortable talking about what I did with, and I realized that there were certain people in my life that I maybe didn't, like maybe certain members of family or certain people, mostly, honestly, people that I've known, like, you know, since childhood or people that haven't really necessarily been a part of my more, like, spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I was realizing that I was holding myself back in certain ways from, like, being open with people about more of the work, and even like trying to hide some of the spiritual stuff. And
yeah, I struggled with that too, because it's like I really have lately been kind of diving into the woo-woo a little bit, like really getting into the energetic work and the chakras and all these things, and like it's sometimes like hard to bring that out, and it's interesting to notice where you kind of want to hold back the woo a little bit,
right?
Like I'm going to do that Reiki training, but then like the thought of incorporating Reiki into like Crash Course and Transformation feels like so crazy, like woo woo to me.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like such amazing work, and I'm so excited to learn it. And it's just interesting how we're like hesitant.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, people will always judge us, right?
Yeah.
And that's something, this is like, I'm saying this also to myself.
Yes.
People will always judge us, but that's their projection, and that's no reason for us to not be who we are. And and going back as well to, like, you know, those places where I was holding back being fully myself with people in my life, I also realized those were my stories that I was telling about them.
Right, you don't even know how they felt about that
shit.
Yeah,
and so it's like doing not only ourselves a disservice, but it's doing them a disservice because you're not even allowing them the chance to make up their mind about how they feel.
Yeah.
Right?
How crazy is that? Like, I'm going to decide for you how you're going to feel about what it is that I do instead of giving you any autonomy over having your own feelings, because
exactly.
I'm so afraid of being rejected, and I've already decided that I know who you are based on who you've been for me in the past. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, and we wonder why we get caught in patterns, because all we're doing is using past information to try to, like, navigate this precipice of reality in order to attempt to, like, stay safe and not get hurt or look bad and have failure in the future. It's such a weird system, our brain.
For sure. And that's one of the things we were talking a little bit before this about the RAS.
Yes!
The reticular activating system, and how our brains are literally wired to filter information based on our experiences from the past.
Yeah.
So
explain the reticular activating system, because it's fucking fascinating.
It is fascinating. So it's basically this part of your mind that filters your experiences. And so let's say you've got two people in a single room, and you have both of those people go through the exact same.
Yeah. Should we have them do it right now, the red and the blue thing?
You lead the way on this one.
Oh, sorry. I'm like, hang on. Okay, so here's what I want you all to do. Okay, so everyone right now that's listening to this podcast, I want you to look around the room right now for everything that's yellow. Find everything that's yellow in the room. Go on. Count it. How many yellow things did you find? You can message me on Instagram and message Kate on Instagram and tell us. And now close your eyes and tell us how many things in your room were red. And you're probably not going to be able to remember because you were so busy focusing on fucking yellow. And that is your reticular activating system.
I love that we were holding hands.
We were holding hands during this experience.
Yeah, and so if you think about, like, that's, first of all, that's an amazing example. I love that. And if you think about living your entire life in that way, where you're constantly looking for the yellow things, I'm doing the air quotes again, you know, you're looking for these certain things that you've essentially been primed to look for.
Yeah, like, bad things always happen to me.
Exactly. And so we're literally, even in the brain, this becomes a chemical thing as well. We start to get addicted to experiencing the same chemicals. I love the why does this always happen to me, because it's a perfect illustration of it. And so when something bad shows up in our life, or something even neutral, we will perceive it through that old lens, and we actually, there's a deep part of us that actually craves that negative kick because it's familiar.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't feel good, it's familiar. And that's like a really key piece of this work, is that the brain loves familiarity. Mm-hmm. And it will choose something that is not in alignment with what your highest good is.
Yeah.
If it's familiar, unless you decide that you want to change that.
Mm.
And the most important way to change it is by getting your emotions involved. Emotions plus repetition. Finding ways that you can actually make different associations in the brain.
Right.
So instead of those old stuck patterns, you know, starting to open the lens, open your blinders up.
Yeah.
And realize, like, when this thing happens that I used to get this kickback that would say, this is a negative thing, it's always happening to me, why is this always happening to me? And instead learning to take that space, that step back.
Yeah, the step back.
The witness, and say, this is just an event. And, you know, I don't necessarily have to see it the same way.
Right.
And every single time you do that, you create a little more space and you start to refocus where that RAS is really picking things up.
Yeah. And one thing that I did, so when I was really focusing on getting out of debt, I was really focusing on building my business. I was getting really deep into personal development. I very much had the shitty things always happen to me mindset. And so one of the things I started to do was, like, actually physically accept abundance into my life. And maybe I told you about this when we were talking about money. Is that whenever I had a client say yes, whenever I had a client pay me, whenever I received my paycheck from work, because I was still working at the time, anytime, like, money was coming in or anytime a good thing would happen, I would physically nod my head and go, yes, good things always happen for me. Mm-hmm. Instead of usually, and maybe you guys will notice, when something great happens in your life, a lot of times we physically shake our head. We go, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And, like, all we're doing is, like, programming ourselves that this is a rare thing that happens to me.
Yeah.
And so then all we end up focusing on is the shit things that happen, mm-hmm. instead of programming our brains to be like, good things do happen to me. Yes, I'm receiving this because I deserve it. And, like, really just reprogramming yourself, like, mentally, even, like, your nervous system of, like, mm-hmm. nodding your head, you know?
Yeah, and really paying attention, too, to the words that we're using. Mm. Like, in that situation, you said, I can't believe this is happening.
While you're shaking your head and sending it away.
Yeah, and you can pay attention to that even on, like, a physical level. You know, this is a pain in my back. Yeah. A really interesting thing that I'll notice with clients is they'll often experience physical issues in places that have emotional roots. And it's, if you listen to the way that they speak, you know, they're often literally saying the things that that are happening.
Yeah, like, I literally have a pain in my ass, like, in my low back, like, right where my hip is, at the top of my butt is usually the place where I get hurt, and I see pain in my ass a lot.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's crazy.
That's so interesting.
So pay attention, because the words that you speak are always being picked up on by your subconscious mind. And another important thing to note, too, is that the subconscious mind doesn't understand negatives.
Mm.
So for most people, you know, if you were to say, or if I was to say to you, I want you to stop smoking.
Mm.
What your brain picks up on mostly from
I
that
want you to smoke.
Is smoking.
Mm.
Yeah, it just hears smoking.
Yeah.
And so it's that same idea of like what you just did, you know, taking them through that process of looking for things in the room. You hear what is being spoken to you without that negative line. It's like when people say, don't think of a pink elephant.
All you think of is a fucking pink elephant, right? Or like,
right.
Oh, I don't want to be tired anymore. I don't want to be broke anymore.
Right.
I don't want to, for me, I don't want to attract addicts and losers anymore. And I'm like, oh, look, they're everywhere. And I'm so addicted to the familiar drama. Come to me. This is so great, familiar.
Yeah, because it's a subconscious comfort zone. And
yeah.
So we have to choose to change that comfort zone to something that is more aligned with us.
Yeah, and I think it's a spectrum too, right? Like just to even use myself as an example again, is like we have to, first of all, recognize what we don't want and then recognize what we do want and then really be able to acknowledge where we're doing it and creating the space to watch ourselves do it for a while. And that's sort of where I've been like with this whole like kind of redefining my life and like relationships and things. I recognize that like I either date addicts, abusers, or cheaters. Like it's just my whole, it's been in the past like my whole thing. And now I'm at the point where it's like I see what I do want. I notice what I'm attracting.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm like, yeah, we're just going to fucking do it because it's fucking familiar. And I'm just going to be like, all right, I'm watching Krista Dolphy's body. I'm watching Christy Crash's body play this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to the point where like I've now gone from unconscious to conscious, now consciously like choosing it to then consciously being able to choose something else. And people think that they have to go from being unconsciously doing something to like consciously doing the opposite, and it
yep.
doesn't work because there's this fucking spectrum that you have to go through.
Absolutely. And there's four stages of learning.
Yes, there it is. I knew that there was a real version of this. Hang on.
Yes.
Yeah, educate us.
There's four stages of learning that we go through.
Yeah.
And the easiest way for me to think about this is if you think about learning how to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you first go in and you sit in a car for the very first time, if you can remember, you know, you're at this place where you don't know how to do anything,
mm-hmm.
but you're aware that you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, so you're in the car and you have to like consciously think, right? And it's called conscious incompetence.
Yeah.
So you're aware
yeah.
you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. I am conscious of my incompetence in driving this car right now.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then, you know, you start to learn how to do that a little bit more. And then soon you're going to this place where you're like, okay, like, you know, I know that I can do it, but it's still not maybe necessarily programmed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, one day you'll get in your car, you'll go to drive somewhere, and the whole thing is subconscious, and you're not even aware, you're not even paying attention to the fact that you know how to drive.
Yeah.
Right? Because the whole process has become ingrained in you. It's essentially become subconscious.
Right.
And so we have to remember that, too, that, like, when we're living our lives, there's a process that's going on. And there's the process for you, like you were saying, from the place of not even necessarily realizing that you had that pattern,
right,
being unaware of it, to recognizing that you had the pattern, like being in that car,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, aware that you don't really know what you're doing, but trying to
manage it.
Yeah. Or sorry, aware that you have the pattern and trying to figure out how to manage it.
Right.
And like being there, witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then slowly, like little by little, getting to that place where like, you know, eventually you'll be able to make the decisions that are in alignment with you.
Right.
That may be like more, you know, you might really have to think about them.
Mm-hmm.
They might be things you really have to put effort into.
Right.
But eventually, doing that enough times, it becomes subconscious.
Yeah. And it's like, that's where I feel like I'm at right now is it's like, okay, I'm like actually consciously making better dating choices.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's like hard work. I'm like, all right, we're going this direction.
Yep.
Right. But then after a while, and it's because we're building those neural pathways.
For
and
sure.
like our brains are so moldable. You guys, you can definitely teach old dogs new tricks, you know?
For sure.
And like so many of us think like, oh, well, you know, this is just going to be harder when I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, no, like we can actually, it is fun. what's the word I'm looking for? It is feasible to, like, build new neural pathways by just doing the new pattern, like, over and over.
Absolutely.
And over.
Neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity is a thing. It's a thing. So what is the, what program are you working on right now? You have, are you finishing one up and then you're starting a new one? What are you doing right now?
So I'm starting a dreams course for the first time. I'm really excited about this.
Super cool.
So this is helping people to use the dream world to connect with their own subconscious.
Yeah.
And to understand what it is they need, and also to learn to enhance their dreams and use them as basically like tools and guides throughout their life. So there's that program that I'm really excited for. And then I do a 30-day reprogramming course where we do a deep dive into, you know, what are your needs, what are your stories, what's really going on when you show up the way that you do, and how can you piece by piece break that down, going through that stage of being in the car, right, and trying to figure out like, where am I going? How do I shift the gears? How does this work? And just creating that space, really all it is. I mean, it's funny because I just finished up one of these programs and I was talking with the girls in the program at our last call.
Yeah.
And I asked them, you know, what have you noticed and like what's changed for you? And the one thing that everyone kept saying was like space, you know, like where they used to just react, there was now this really beautiful space.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, God, it's such a gift to like have the space to be in control of your lives. And I get a lot of that from my girls too, is it's like when something happens, like just being able to take one breath and like consciously choose what you want to do versus like knee-jerk reaction going towards patterns.
And the effect that that has on the rest of your life is massive.
It's massive.
I mean, if you think about all the tiny places in your life where you make split-second decisions, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time your head touches the pillow at night, and even throughout your sleeping process, you know, you're constantly operating on these old beliefs and these old patterns, making little decisions, and to really create that space for something new can change your life in infinite
100%, 100%.
Ways.
Like, you have a shitty conversation at the office, you personalize what someone said, you feel a certain way, you want to numb it, and then you go and you eat a box of donuts in like the break room or something.
Exactly.
You know, or like your significant other like leaves a dish in the sink and then like, you know, you make it mean something and then you go down this reactionary path and we just do it over and over and over.
Yeah, and one thing that I think is really important too, and that I thought of while you were talking about like relationships, because this is something that I've been working on too in my own life, and really recognizing like when we have those triggers and those places where we feel, you know, we feel what we perceive as negative emotion in response to these things that happen.
Yeah.
To really look at like, what is this? Not only what am I making it mean, but what is this reflecting about me?
Right.
You know, so like if you're drawn to somebody who doesn't treat you well, like what is that really reflecting? And this is something that like I've been doing a lot of work, especially recently, like looking into why have I been drawn towards similar people and like what were they really showing me about my own process?
Yeah.
And going again back to that RIS, like what were they showing me about the way my brain was filtering things? And an interesting thing that I've started doing and a practice that, like, I would recommend to anyone is, well, I'll just tell you a little story about it first.
Yeah, tell me the story. Tell us the story.
So we all have basic human needs. Tony Robbins talks a lot about this. And it's really important to understand, you know, what are your needs in life? And, and where are the places where you might have, you know, not experienced your needs being met as fully as you'd like them to. And so for me, I realized like one of my important needs is significance. So it like really makes a difference when people show me that I'm important to them. And this is something that I also recognize, like there were certain people in childhood who I didn't feel I had that peace from. And so what I've realized is that I've come to filter out, a perfect example of this is like this woman I was teaching yoga to maybe like 6 years ago. She had written me once this really, really nice message saying like how practicing yoga with me had changed her life, how she was doing all these positive things, yada, yada, yada. And I had like since moved on from the area that she was living in, so I wasn't currently teaching her anymore.
Right.
And at the end of the message, she said, and now I've continued the practice with this girl, Rose, or something, because I loved it so much. And so I read that message, and, like, the thing that my brain jumped to was, like, now she's practicing with Rose.
You didn't hear any of it. Like, you couldn't accept any of it.
I didn't accept any of it. And it took me, like, a few weeks. And then at one point I was looking back through my messages, and I found that message again, and I reread it, and I realized, like, how many nice things she had actually said to me about our time together that I had just blocked out. And so then I was noticing, like, in some of my relationships, you know, as I was older, I was often, like, putting a lot of energy into places where I wasn't feeling, like, seen or, yep, like, important, right? And so what I started doing just this past week is, like, every day either writing down or even leaving myself voice notes of all the places that I recognize about myself.
Mm.
And doing that, yeah. I, interesting thing, so I did it and I listened, I played it back for myself this morning.
Yeah.
And as I was walking to Muay Thai, a couple of people stopped me on the beach, and one girl, she came up and she was like, I just want to say, you know, this thing that you posted really, really helped me. And people were, I don't know if it was just, you know, coincidence, law of attraction, who knows. But people started to show up and to give me more of that feedback.
Yeah.
Because I was giving it to myself.
Right,
because
you were open and accepting it. Okay, now they're doing lawn work in the backyard. I think we should probably
Should we go inside?
Yeah, we're going to migrate this inside. Because apparently today is not the day for a quiet outdoor quiet outdoor podcast action. Oh my god. Yeah, and that's actually, so we're gonna get a little echoey here, guys, but we're gonna figure it out.
It's gonna be worth it.
Come on in, come snuggle me, social distance snuggle. But yeah, that's actually something that I've really been working on too, is noticing, like, I've never been a super social person. Like, when it all goes back to, like, when I was a little kid, some of my friends, like went to one of my friends' houses and I wasn't invited, and, like, I, like, was super hurt as a kid and getting rejected. And it happened, like, as a little kid, it happened in, like, high school. And so I had this thing about, like, I'm sort of not worthy. And so I definitely see that showing up in, like, the people that I choose. I choose people that I feel way more worthy than, because then I'm super safe. And even, like, moving to a new town, especially a small town where everyone knows each other, has been so confronting for me, because mm-hmm. it literally feels like going back to high school, and I'm, like, the new kid that just moved into town. And it's been fascinating, like, to be willing to go places, meet new people, and actually, like, in my head thinking everyone hates me, no one likes me. Like, just hearing that old programming, like, and just being in those social situations and being willing to just let the programming be there and not buy into it. Mm-hmm. And then ending up making, like, super awesome friends and super amazing people, you know?
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
Yeah, and it's perfect what you did, like, not buying into the stories, right? And then looking as well, like, for evidence. This is huge.
Yeah.
Looking for evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
So every time, you know, and it's funny to me to even hear you say that, because my impression of you is that you're super social.
Which is what everyone's like, it's so crazy. Like, you're so confident and everyone likes you. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, all these people are judging me. Like, I'm being so weird and awkward. What do I do with my hands? Did I just say something weird? You know?
And it's, yeah, it's so funny because, I mean, knowing you, I can think of, like, 100 reasons off the top of my head, 100 pieces of evidence for the contrary.
Right.
And so when you start to recognize that more yourself too, and, like, let that information in even more,
mm-hmm.
like, well, hey, there's actually, like, this person who's a really good friend, and I just had a dinner party, and you're always having dinner parties.
I know,
parties.
But I'm, like, having dinner parties, and I'm like, oh my god, I hope the people come. Did they like the food? Was this fun? Did everyone have a good time? Like, and the only reason I started having dinner parties was because my roommate Sandra, who is gone now, but she would throw dinner parties, and I'm like, well, if she can do it, I guess I could do it. And it's so, like, outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's so crazy to hear. And it's so good too that you're able, I'm glad actually that you're telling me this, because
yeah.
the thing is too, when we surround ourselves with people who are willing to be more conscious with us and to be in, you know, deeper kinds of relationships with us.
Yeah.
When we start to recognize what our stories are and what our patterns are, you know, you can have support in that, and you can, when other people are aware of what you're going through and what's happening in your internal landscape, you know, they can actually help you out. Like, now I know,
right,
like, next time I come over for dinner, like, I'm going to be more aware of, like, hey, like, I want to let Chrissy know that, like, I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, I might not say anything because it might not even occur to me that you would even have that thought.
Right. Everyone leaves. I'm like, it was the worst thing ever. Everyone just came over because they felt bad for me and they didn't want me to be alone.
Yeah, see, that's so funny, because the last time I came over to your house for dinner, I did have a really good time, but I didn't even think to tell you that.
Yeah. Isn't that, well, now you can tell me, you can be like, Chrissy, this is a great dinner gathering.
Exactly. And you can start to, like, point out the places, you know, and I'm not saying you should, like, you know, say things that don't exist, but, like, when you see things in the lives of people around you that you can support them on their path and be like, hey, you were really
right
showing up in this way.
Yeah, well, and even with you, like, I fucking love your content, and I probably don't ever tell you that, but, like, you're one of the few people whose, like, stories I watch and, like, stuff I read, and I fucking love it, and it's so great, and it actually really inspires me. I'm like, fuck, I gotta step up my inspiration game. I'm getting, like, Kate's email, and I'm like, she's got all this great, just insightful shit that she posts, and I'm like, yeah, like, I gotta get back to, like, creating more, like, value. So I just want you to know that you do that.
Oh my God, and that's, like, that's tickling my significance need.
So this is why it's so important that we know these patterns and we're able to, like, vocalize them, because this is a really great example where any one of us can have just a single friend in our life that, like, knows our needs, knows where we really need to have our cup filled, and you just need those couple of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, on, like, your support team, and it can totally change the way that you live your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And knowing, too, like, you know, it's one thing to know that you can fill your cup yourself,
mm-hmm.
and when you know how to fill your cup yourself, you can help other people to do it with you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go through these things alone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think definitely the filling your cup yourself thing is really important. I've been working mm-hmm. on that one a lot, too. Because I'm really good at being alone, but then I end up being, like, just sort of too alone.
Mm.
And so it's, like, filling my cup on my own, but then also venturing out and allowing the people to fill my cup has been a very interesting balance.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
And that, I think, is really important and ties in, as you know, I love to talk about
attachment stuff. Let's talk about attachment stuff. I literally wrote down on our list of things to talk about today, what is Taylor Swift's attachment style? Yeah, attachment styles.
Yeah, and I think, like, a really key piece of this, I mean, if you don't know about attachment styles, I would recommend looking it up. I can give you a brief, you know, overview of what I've picked up on, you know, from my own experience looking into it myself, and from subconscious, you know, just the subconscious work that goes into that, too. But I think, like, you know, there's a few different styles, right? There's dismissive avoidant, who are people who are generally not as open to love. There is anxious preoccupied, which are people who generally in relationships are, you know, more anxious. They really want to feel, you know, validated and reassured that they're loved. There's fearful avoidant, which is something that I am recovering from. And that's when you actually have access to both ends of the attachment spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some anxious programming, and you also have some dismissive programming, which mm-hmm. essentially comes from like very intermittent feedback as a kid. So, like, your environment was basically very unpredictable.
So you're like, I want you really close to me. Oh my God, I really like you. No, wait, this is way too much. I need you to just go away. I'll, like, call you in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Creates a lot of chaos. If you are that style, please. Well, if you're any dysfunctional style and you want to heal yourself, I think this work is so important.
So important.
So important. And then, of course, you can be securely attached, which means that you have a healthy give and take. You're able to give and receive love.
Yeah.
And then you can also be, you know, sort of like a combination of some of these things. You can maybe, you know, lean one way in one kind of situation and another way in another. Mm-hmm. But what I loved about that conversation of, like, filling up our cup, I think from the anxious perspective of somebody who's more like, you know, seeking that external validation, they might be more looking for other people to fill their cup, whereas a dismissive avoidant, often those two are actually attracted to one another.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like polarities. But they also trigger each other. And so
that's why they're attracted, because we're addicted to that shit.
Exactly. Dysfunctional relationships. And so the dismissive avoidant partner would often, you know, be somebody who more thinks they should always fill their cup themselves everyone should be filling their own cup. Kind of having.
Why do you need me to fill your cup? I'm over here filling my own cup. Like, I'm doing my own cup filling work. Go fill your own fucking cup.
Exactly. And we all know people probably in our lives who remind us of both of those things. And I think, like, the most important thing for us to recognize is that it doesn't have to be an either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be like everyone else fills my cup or nobody else can touch my cup.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a healthy give and take.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too, is to understand, like, it's also not permanent, right? If you let's say go, what was the website that had like the test?
Oh, personal development school.
If you Google personal development school attachment styles, there's a really great test you can take. Kate and I retest ourselves.
I retest myself frequently.
Because it's stuff you can, like, work on to, like, mm-hmm. build new patterns and build new ways of being. And so many people, I think, that we think, oh, well, I'm just this way. I'm just an anxious avoidant. And mm-hmm. that's the way it's meant to be. And it doesn't have to.
Absolutely not. And, you know, just going with the test results.
Kate's test results have been getting better over time.
From fearful avoidant primarily to actually scoring mostly secure, which is a big deal in the span of a few months.
Yeah, and we'll ignore the fact that it's the same test over and over. Hopefully she's not playing to the test. I think that you probably authentically
try to answer it honestly.
Yeah.
I really do.
We have a friend who's actually really securely attached.
And
we're
love her.
We love her so much, and we're like, wow, what's that like? What's that like when you just know that you're awesome and you can have really healthy, functional relationships? We're just like, wow, and she'll do something, and we're like, that's because she's securely attached.
And it's so interesting, too, because you'll ask her, you know, you might say...
Do it.
Okay, let me just tell you a situation that I had with this person. So I had, like, sort of a negative situation with somebody in my life who was a friend, and I was upset about it, and I vocalized this to our friend, Sandra.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of upset about this thing. And she goes, why don't you just talk to them about it? And I love that. Or she'll say, well, like, do you really know? And it's funny because this is the work that
we do.
That we do as well.
It's so great to have friends to do the work for you.
Yeah, or to do the work with you. Yeah. She'd be like, well, do you really know that, you know, this person did that thing that you think they did?
Yeah.
You know, and she'll just kind of like, there's a really nice, I want to say like a mom energy. Like just this like.
She does have some serious mom energy. I love her mom energy.
It's like a, like just, you know, somebody who's very like grounded and can kind of look at things objectively and just be like, well, do you really know that that's what that person was thinking when they did that?
Right? You're like, oh, let me pop off my spiral for a second.
Oh, goodness. Hey, Minga, we're recording a podcast. Come here.
He just needed to make his cameo in the podcast and to yell at the gardeners.
Brisket, what's your attachment style?
Brisket's actually really securely attached, I think. I feel like if dogs are any example of how we raise children, I feel like I would have a really smart, really securely attached child.
Could be the breed.
Could also, no, because my last Australian Shepherd was fucked up.
Oh, okay.
But he had a really crazy fucking dad.
Yeah.
So... Nature versus nurture.
Nature versus nurture.
Well, that being said, I think this is actually a good time for us to do our top five. So each episode of the podcast, we do a top five list. And so for this episode, we have decided, in theme with our chat today, to do our top five ways of filling our cup. So how this goes, you'll share, I'll share. You go, I go, you go, I go. It's like merging into traffic.
Okay.
All right, so what did you get? And they don't have to be like, this is the number one. Like, they could just, they're just equally important in top five.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so number one?
Yeah.
So number one, connect with myself.
Ooh.
And the way that I've been really loving doing this is every day I spend like 5 minutes and I just lay in bed and I take my hands, I put them over my heart, and I just literally listen to that silence.
Yes, dude. I love this. I've been doing this. Similarly, I've been doing it when I go down to the beach. There's all that beach wood that's been washed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll, like, lay on a giant log and, like, do the same thing. I put, like, a hand on my belly and a hand on my stomach.
Yeah.
And just, like, breathe and, like, be.
And the value of doing that is huge. I've noticed, actually, a lot of shifts in my life just from doing that this past week.
Yeah.
I mean, little things, but also you know, stuff has been coming up in my dreams, and just taking that time, especially if you're somebody who abandons themselves often, which is something like I had a pattern of doing when I was younger and still noticed like little areas of that, to like actually connect is huge.
Yeah.
Life changing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it seems so insignificant, but then it shows up in so many other places in our life.
Yeah.
Awesome. I said creativity and music. So I just got this ukulele and it has been absolutely life changing for me. Like I didn't realize how much like the creative process of like learning and playing music could be so healing and like special and amazing. It has been such a cup filler for me. And then my ukulele broke, but I have a new ukulele coming. Oh, it should be side noted on this. Kate and I started a band.
Called Unicity.
We're called Unicity, the point where all things come together.
We'll have check us out on Spotify.
We'll have an album out soon. You probably won't want to listen to it, but we will want to listen to it. Awesome. What did you get for number two?
Number two, I said learn about myself. So understanding like attachment styles or what your needs are, you know, really doing a deep dive to figure out like what is it that I actually, you know, what's actually inside of my internal landscape, and treating yourself almost like a friend or somebody you were going on a date with, like really getting to know yourself and get curious about what's going on.
And I think that's really important too, is like learning how to be like your own best friend, like learning how to treat yourself the way you would like treat someone else.
Yeah. 100%.
Oh my God, these lawn care guys are killing me right now. I'm so sorry for the raking in the background, you guys. We've learned a lesson, which is don't do podcasts on Mondays because we have four workers chopping down a tree and raking in the backyard. My number two is physical activity, which comes in the form of whether it's going to the gym, whether it's surfing. For me, physical activity is such a cup filler. And I should say actually about pretty much all of mine, doing them without people is a really great way for me to fill my cup on my own, like going for runs and things like that. But also each of my cup fillers, I feel like also when I need like other people cup filling, they're all really great things I can do with other people too. Like I love surfing with my friends, or I love going for morning walks with you, or there's just something, I love doing that stuff on my own when I need solo time. I like the movement, but also there's something about like being out with your friends and like laughing and stuff like that. So
And my number three would be connecting with people.
Yeah.
Because I find too, like one of the things actually that I love about living down here is that it is kind of like a small town.
So great.
And you do run into people easily. So I started to realize when I first moved down here, I would crave sunsets.
Yes.
I would crave being on the beach at sunset. And I started to ask myself, like, why am I craving this so much? And I realized it's because of, like, that connection of seeing the people that you see.
Everyone comes down.
Everyone comes down. And recognizing, like, how can I meet that connection for myself, you know, when I feel it. So maybe it's not sunset time and I find I need to connect. So maybe I reach out to somebody or like, in my relationships with people, like, I learn how to communicate differently and to connect on a deeper level. So learning how to connect in a really efficient and like helpful way.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about the small town thing is we were talking about this yesterday at brunch, was that it's funny how we can be at home and be like, God, I just really need to be around people. And then you just go out and like go to the grocery store and you see all these people and you're like, oh my God, hey, how are you? Oh my God, hey, how are you? It's like all you had to do is just leave your house and then it's like inevitably you're going to run into someone you know. And that was what was really hard when COVID first started and all the beaches were shut down and it was like there was no sunset. Like you couldn't go to the beach for sunset. And so it was like it was such a social missing. It was really hard.
For sure. It was so hard for so many people. And I think like we can still meet our need for connection through like phone calls and other things, but it's not 100% the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, here in the small town, you leave your house and your cup gets filled in that sense, which is cool.
Well, and it's funny too, the small town thing is hilarious. Like literally I went to brunch yesterday with my friend Maddie and she introduced me to this super dope girl, Elise, who is 100% going to be on the podcast soon. She's fucking amazing. She really wants to meet you,
I think,
by
I've
the way.
I met her.
Yeah, she's like, I met her one time. She's like, but I really need to get to know her. I was telling her we were podcasting today. She's like, I want to do a past life regression. And she's like, I just need to, like, meet her. I was like, I will hook you guys up. We'll go to lunch or something.
But it was funny because we went to brunch. We're like, oh my God, so nice to meet you, whatever. We had like great like boss girl, you know, boss babe conversations. And then we're like, okay, well, you know, it's Nosara, so I'm sure I'll see you everywhere. And sure enough, I'm walking down the beach today. And she's like, right there on the beach. And I was like, oh, okay. So both women that I met yesterday, both of them I saw on the beach this morning. I was like, this is how this fucking works.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Was that your number three?
Yes.
Okay, my number three was nature. And nature fills my cup in so many ways. Like I was saying, you know, even just something like going down to the beach and like laying on a log, like really just energetically connecting with the stillness and energy of nature, because I feel like human resonation right now is very high. It's like, and then it's like, if you can get out of the concrete and the people and like get into like a forest space or like even just sitting and looking at the tree outside and like being able to see how like slow and grounded and like just, it's just such a reminder of what we were supposed to feel like as humans. And that's been a really, really important one for me. Like there was a point here, I was having a really tough like couple of weeks here, and there's that little outcropping of rock on the way to Pallada. I would literally walk down the beach, I would go over there and I would just lay on the rock and just like feel the rock energy and like try to like resonate my energy with the rock. And for like an hour, I would just like lay on the rock. Tony found me laying on a rock one day, like on a boulder down south. And he didn't even see me until he got super close and was like surprised because I blended into the rock. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just communing with this rock. How's it going?
Oh my God, I love that.
So great. He was like, okay.
I want to adopt that one. That's a really good one. And I think, you know, part of that too is like the fact that with all this isolation and all of the, you know, the quarantining that people have been doing, we've been so surrounded by technology. And you and I are lucky to live here where we're really close to nature.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of cities, you know, people don't necessarily have or haven't had that time to connect. And so even if you just have
get a houseplant. In Los Angeles, I had this houseplant. It was one of these that I have in here, this gigante, the giant leaves.
It's beautiful.
I had one in Los Angeles, and it lived in a pot, and I would watch the baby leaves come out, and I'd be like, oh, hello, new baby leaf, you know? And you can connect to even, like, a houseplant.
Exactly. Or even just walking barefoot somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? So important.
It's so important. I've actually, side note, I have decided I just no longer want to wear shoes.
Yeah.
I've stopped. I mean, for the most part, I don't wear them because I really feel like the rocks you know, people are like, oh, but it hurts to walk on gravel. But if you do it long enough, it actually just stops hurting, and you're activating all of those really important little pressure points in your feet. So I've sort of just decided I'm just done. I'm just done wearing shoes.
For sure.
I'm just fucking over it.
If you live in a city and you don't have some nature to walk on, what you can do, I've heard, is you can take a silver spoon and run it under the bottom of your feet for grounding. Something happens energetically. You'll have to look it up because I can't explain it myself. But there is something to it.
Interesting.
Where it actually serves to ground you. So even if you're in a city, you've got no excuse.
There's always a way. Google how to ground yourself in the city.
Yeah.
Awesome. What did you get for four?
Number four is connecting to my purpose. So finding something that's like the juice, right, in every day. So I think there were a lot of times in my life where I would wake up without like a real plan, right, or like without a lot of motivation of like, this is what I really want to accomplish today. And so what I've started to do is connect to the why.
Yeah.
Connect to why am I doing these things?
Yeah.
Why am I putting out this content? Why am I running my business? Why am I going to Muay Thai class? Why am I connecting with these people, you know? And figuring out, like, what is the purpose or the intention, really?
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me a lot to, like, recognize and show up for those things in my life.
Yeah, especially over time, because I feel like doing the same thing over and over and over again, we sort of like depersonalize it, and then it just becomes a thing on the to-do list.
Yeah.
Versus like actually intentionally like doing, whether it's, you know, your Facebook post or, you know, like writing something for an email, like doing it to do it versus like really being intentional with like, how is this helping people?
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
I think energetically people feel it too.
Yeah.
My fourth one was physical touch, and this is something that's been really interesting for me because it's definitely one of my love languages. Highly recommend 5 Love Languages for everyone who hasn't read it. But
physical touch is a really important one for me. And one of the things that I was working with a coach on is I really struggled because it's such an important thing to me. And that when I was single, or when I am single, like now, you know, it's like I get so starved for it that like I would make a bad decision, mm-hmm. you know, and we would call it dumpster diving. Because it's like, you know, if this person's starving and like they have no food, and let's say there's like a restaurant, right? And then they throw all the extra food in the trash can, and like the person's so hungry that they're just gonna like go dive in the dumpster to pull out whatever they can. Mm-hmm. So this is my dating life. Is I would just dumpster dive for physical touch. And so one of the things I actually really worked on with my coach was like own physical touch. Mm-hmm. So this sounds really cheesy, but like for example, like when I go to sleep at night, I legitimately hold my own hand.
Yeah.
Like I fall asleep with like my hand intertwined with my other hand, and I'm like, good night, boo, I love you. And I literally like hold my own hand when I go mm-hmm. to sleep. Or even things like giving yourself like hugs is like really like great for your nervous system, mm-hmm. or like giving yourself even just like arm massages or leg massages or foot massages. Mm-hmm. It's so fulfilling. Or even in like the shower, I've started really intentionally showering. Like instead of thinking about my to-do list and going through it, I like slowly like I scrub with like my loofah and I really like feel it. I get in between like my fingers, mm-hmm. you know, and I use something that smells really good, and it's just been such a good way to like fill my own cup, you know.
I love showers.
Oh, it's so great.
Love them.
It's so great. If you get like a good scrub, you can just like
nothing like
it. Oh, it's so good. But I used to just rush through like to my mm-hmm. next thing, and it's been such a like cup feeler to just have my own little time to like touch myself.
other ways to fill your cup. I guess that goes in physical touch too, probably.
The next edition.
Anyways, what's your number five?
On a side note to what you just said, I used to love showers so much that I would sometimes shower like 3 times a day, and then I noticed my skin was getting dry.
Oh my god, you're like, I can't shower anymore.
My number five would be writing. For me, I find writing is a really awesome way to connect with myself. And when I do write, it puts me into contact with like all of my deeper feelings, my needs, and it really helps me to create like a cohesive narrative of what I'm going through.
Mm.
So it's something that I've been doing ever since I was a kid.
Yeah,
I've always loved writing.
Me too.
Even if it was writing about horses when I was in third grade,
yeah.
or you know, like when I was in elementary school, I wrote like a 30-page book on a horse.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we publish it?
Yeah, actually, my horseback riding instructor, she was really sweet, and she really liked the book. She actually had it bound for me.
Oh.
And there's a little photo like an about me on the back where I'm like tiny little kid with like an oversized helmet and oversized jacket on this big horse, and I'm just like. And she put a little about me and you know the. Content of the book was a fictional story about like this girl and her horse, but it was actually kind of dark too. The girl dies in the book.
What the fuck?
It was like about a girl with cancer and a horse. I don't know exactly where I got the idea for the story. It just kind of popped into my head.
That's so crazy.
But it's always been something that helps me to connect,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm writing fiction. Like it still helps me to connect with like feelings and needs and it really gives me a lot of grounding.
Yeah, and it's so great for like looking back on too. I've been writing quite a bit. I'm actually sort of, I think you are too, in the memoir writing process.
Yeah.
And I've been doing some of that, and it's really healing. And it's interesting to just even be able to go back to like the beginning of this year and to mm-hmm. read what I was working through, and
for
it
sure.
really is helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and isn't it like a trip when you look at something that you wrote years ago and you see how much you've changed?
Holy shit! You're like, I was in first grade back then.
Yeah.
But that's the tricky thing about traveling, though, is like I've literally thrown away everything I've ever written. Like when I left the country, I literally just threw away all my old journals. I threw away fucking everything. And so I've been using, I have this thing called a rocket book. Have you ever heard of a rocket book?
No.
You write on it. It's a notebook. You write on it. It has a little QR code in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a picture of it on the rocket book app, and it uploads it to wherever you want to based on a little symbol on the bottom. Like one symbol sends it to like your Gmail. One symbol sends it to like Evernote. One symbol. And then it converts it to text.
Wow. I need to get on this.
It's the greatest thing. It's called a rocket book. And the pages are plastic, so you just wipe them down and you erase them. So it's
wow.
only like 20 pages, and you just use it and you erase it.
I really need to do this.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been I don't remember how we got on that topic, but
other than writing was your cup filler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing was my
So I highly recommend the Rocket Book. My last one was laughing. Fuck, man. Laughing is one of, even just like this fucking podcast or like a really big cup filler for me. I've been listening to the Office Ladies podcast. Mm. For anyone that doesn't know, if you ever watched the show The Office, it's Pam and Angela from The Office as real life persons, like the actresses themselves, are actually best friends. And so they are rewatching all the episodes of The Office and then sharing the behind the scenes. And it's fucking hilarious. And for me, it's just such a cup filler. Like every Wednesday, the new episode comes out and I like wait for it. And then like I just listen to it and just fucking like crack up. That one and did you ever listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
No.
It's a NPR news show, but it's like a news game show. And so it's like this fucking game show about the news. It's the only way I will take in news. And it's hilarious, like laugh out loud hilarious because they're all like comedians and stuff like that. And it's just having like that shit, whether it's with people and doing something and laughing or the dinner parties have been so cup filling for me, even though they're stressful because I think that everyone hates me. My internal programming is like, this is not safe. The 6-year-old version of yourself is like, everyone's going to get here and then they're going to go to someone else's house and not invite you. I'm like, it's okay, little girl. That's not what's going to happen. It's going to be fine. Oh my God. But laughing is just such a good big cup filler.
That's huge. I actually wrote down something similar on mine, but then I mixed it as we were going through because I changed my mind on something. I was like, I actually need a sixth spot.
You're like, okay, would you like your sixth to be laughing? We could share.
Well, I put like letting go and like, and I feel like laughing is a way to do that, you know? And I used to do that too. Like last year, I mean, this isn't necessarily laughing per se, but this time last year during the rainy season, there were a couple moments that were sort of tense for me and times where I just felt really down and it was pretty isolated here during the rainy season. And I would just start watching reruns of The OC.
No!
You know, and like really like, I won't necessarily say shitty TV shows, but like, you know, just mindless. Actually, when I do watch television or, you know, engage in some kind of media, I really love it when it's, like, very mindful.
Oh, my God. I do, too. Modern Family right now is my jam.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like there's so much conscious work in, like, the work that I do.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, work with my own patterns and look at all these other things. So, like, for me to let go, to listen to a song I love or to laugh with a friend or to watch an episode of The OC just because it like makes me feel some kind of joy.
Yeah.
You know, I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I've already seen it.
It's like candy a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need that little like, cause not everything has to be serious. And I'm working on that too. Of like, not every podcast has to be about learning. I don't have to watch fucking... I don't really watch documentaries. But sometimes I feel like I should watch more documentaries. So then I watched the one about the planet thing, and now I'm fucking eating more vegan food. But, yeah, it's nice to just chill out sometimes.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
There's a balance in life, right? Like, we don't need to always be, you know, doing things proactively 100% of the time. That play element is it's important.
It's so play is so important.
Yeah.
We forgot how to play. That's one thing I feel like being down here. I feel like I play
a
lot more. Like going surfing with my friends feels like fucking play.
Yeah.
You know, like we're cheering each other in the on in the ocean and like being silly and stupid and it's super great.
I love that about even Muay Thai.
Yeah. Know? Except for today. Today did not feel like play. Bart just fucking beat my ass today. But, yeah, it does. When you have a partner that's not a 230-pound man, it does. But when I was hitting him, then it felt like play. Before, I was like, I'm getting so triggered right now. Like, I was in total, like, fight or flight mode. I'm like, I just want to run away. I'm being attacked. I just want to run away. I'm like, I'm going to get elbowed in the face. Like,
oh, my God.
We do. We have to play. I'll tell you what, though. I'm ready for rainy season to be over.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to me.
It's.
Like, we saw Blue Sky today, and I was like, thank you, sweet fucking baby Jesus. Like,
yeah.
Because the last couple of days of rain, where it's just, it's coming, and it's coming. It's like, you wake up in the morning, and it's raining, and then you're like, I better get outside for, like, a couple hours, because if I don't get it done before it starts raining again, I'm just gonna be in my fucking house in the rain.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
And we appreciate it more, too, when the rain is over. We appreciate the sun.
I'm so excited. I'm excited for it to be so hot.
and like just fucking just so hot that you don't even wear a shirt for like 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and then that first rain to come again. Mm. Like, I'm almost looking forward to the first rain again because I know how good it's gonna feel after it gets really hot for like 4 months.
Oh my God. I hear you.
Contrast.
Contrast. It's what makes the world go round.
It is what makes the world go round. Well, this has been fucking magical.
This has been great.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
I think that we'll have more of these.
I think so too.
We should play a song next time.
We should. I also feel like we have so much. We didn't even go into past
life regression. We didn't even go into like any of the things.
Yeah.
So we want to do the past life regression stuff. So stay tuned to more podcasts with Kate Cameron. We should maybe even do one with me on the air or something. We didn't even talk about the one that we did. You guys did the craziest past life regression. Yeah, this has been super fun. I fucking love you so much.
Me too.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you got anything out of this, if this was helpful, if you laughed with us, if you know someone that could use this podcast, please share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, tag me in it. I will repost your shares because, I mean, at the end of the day, life is a contact sport, and she who touches the most lives wins. So thanks, you guys. I love you. Bye.